Please turn the Bible with me to the New Testament, the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. It's found on page 1127 in the Bibles that are there in the racks in the pews. Page 1127, John chapter 1. We'll read the first 18 verses, but our focus will be on verse 14. We'll also read from the Epistle to the Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. People of God, hear now not my words, not even ultimately John's words, but the words of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Let us turn over to Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. This is found on page 1197. Romans 3, verse 21. "But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." In our focus, our text takes us back to John 1, verse 14. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Congregation, the Christmas season, it's one of surprises often, isn't it? Of blessings, of happiness, even of joy. Now, sometimes these surprises, though, they're unpleasant, perhaps even tragic. But often they are good, whether that be Christmas cards and Christmas letters telling us of news and greetings from family and friends, children, the delight of opening gifts, all the way perhaps to a surprise of a loved one being able to come home. certainly the blessings we have at this time. Blessings are good. What we have in our lives at this time, Christmas, are faint echoes, though. Faint echoes and pointers to a greater surprise, a greater blessing. True joy. The birth of Jesus Christ on Christmas Day. Now, over the past number of weeks in our Advent series, we've seen how God revealed himself through creation, through the law published on Sinai, through the prophets God sent to his people again and again, and through the writings. We saw how God was reaching down to us, his people, who once the first man, Adam, sinned. We were mired in sin, blinded by our sin. God came down, though, again and again in order to make clear to us himself, his standard for living, his word, calling us, trust him, turn from sin, trust him. We come this morning to Christmas Day, the day when we especially commemorate the birth of the Son of God, the Christ child, his birth in Bethlehem. Although it was present already with his conception, it is especially with his birth that we find the beginning of what John wrote in verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, let us then consider this blessed event. As I proclaim to you, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. First, we want to consider this surprise, this Christmas surprise. Now, there are several surprises as we continue in our series. We think even it's a surprise that God would create, that he created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. He is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He needs no creature to fellowship with him. He is within himself, the three persons of the Godhead, perfect, perfect fellowship, perfect love, perfect communion. Yet God chose to create this world, to create us humans in his image. That is surprising. As we look around at the creation God has made, aren't we ourselves often surprised? The vastness. We look up at the stars. We see so many of them. We look at the detail, not so much snow around us anymore, but we look at all the detail around us. We enjoy the fellowship of loved ones, don't we? We too are continually surprised. Think of what we often do at this time of year. Parents, others giving gifts, children enjoy receiving them and giving them. God has blessed us. And we are often surprised as we experience these blessings. But as we turn our minds to think how God has revealed himself to us, yes, we're surprised by the world around us, but think of the other ways God has revealed himself. And think of his law, the prophets, the writings, all these recorded for us in the Bible, in the Old Testament. The Bible, a book of surprises. First, that God should have regard for us. For humans. Though we have rebelled against him, though we have rejected him, walked away from him, aligned ourselves with Satan, God came to us. He gave us his law that he should make very clear, no, this is the right way. Walk in this way. That he should send his prophets with messages specifically to us, his people, to guide us in the way of faith and obedience, to call us back. Why will you perish? Follow this way. Turn away. Do not go down that path of sin. Surprising. Why should God care for rebels in this way? For enemies? For those who hate him? And that God should record for future generations, for us, what actually did happen. As God's people, at times, by God's grace, accepted and believed his word, but oftentimes rejected his word. Recorded that in the writings. We as a race, humans, we do not deserve to have God's law, the messages of the prophets, the writings delivered to us. And yet throughout time, beginning shortly after Adam's first sin, God has come to us. And he has made promises, surprising promises. Not simply promises of judgment upon sinners. It's true, he has made those, but those aren't surprising. Judgment is what we deserve because of our sin. The surprising promises are promises of grace, of mercy. Back in Genesis 3, moments after Adam first sinned, God came to him, sought him out, and made wonderful promise to send someone to rescue. That God gave his law to his people was proof. He has not abandoned us to our sin and blindness, our darkness. And that God would come with the prophets and give this clearer message, seeking us out. We read from Romans, it was the law and the prophets that testified to the righteousness of God that comes through faith in Christ Jesus. But who imagined the surprise? Who could have imagined the surprise God had in store for his people on Christmas? He sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, into the world to rescue us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There is the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promises. His Son is not a mere creature, but as we read in verse 18, no one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. God come to live with humans, with his people. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here's the surprise of Christmas, congregation. God became man. Oh, this Word, who was given the name Jesus, he did not cease being God, but to his divine person, mysteriously, miraculously, he added a human nature, our human nature. Like us in every way except for sin. This is a surprise, a Christmas surprise. The saints of God were expecting salvation from God, longing for it, many of them, but the package in which this salvation was wrapped was surprising. To some, it was disconcerting. After all, how could the God of the universe be veiled in human flesh? How could the Almighty God come in the form of a babe, helpless? We cannot see the divine nature. How could it be this baby is God? This baby who is so dependent, so frail, so weak, who would grow up to be a man, who could be seen, who could be heard, felt, touched, handled, abused, killed. How could this one be God? This is a surprise. Surprise we must, by God's grace, believe. And through the years, as the church continues to think about this coming of the Christ, this incarnation, as we continue to meditate upon it, we're still surprised. Son of God, Son of man, the Word became flesh. The Word, the one through whom all things were made, who was in the beginning with God, in him was life, who gives light, order, structure. He has entered creation. The Word, the true light that gives light to everyone, as we read in verse 9, he entered into the world. The Word, like the word of the law spoken by God on Mount Sinai, has become flesh. The Word, even more than messages delivered by God through the prophets to his own people, the Word itself has come to dwell among us, not just to have something on paper, something we hear. God has not withdrawn. God is not at a distance. God does not speak to us only. He has come to us in the person of his Son, the Word, who became flesh. This is a surprising gift. It's the greatest gift of all, the greatest surprise of all. Emmanuel, God with us. This is the Christmas surprise. And this surprise has substance to it. Now, children, you'll have many surprises. Maybe you've had some already. But there's not much to them. You forget about them after a while. They don't change your life. They don't change reality. Not so with this surprise, this Christmas surprise. It's filled with grace. So we come to that in our second point, Christmas grace. And we've mentioned it's no surprise if God would punish man. We deserve that. We deserve eternal punishment, body and soul. We do not deserve any moment of peace, any speck of joy because of our sin. And think of what we've considered in this Advent series. God's standard in creation, ignored, suppressed by sinful man. God's standard published in the law, removed from the courtrooms of our land, disobeyed, flouted in public by our society. God's standard brought to us through the prophets, perhaps received, but prophets we've read, often mocked, their exhortations ignored, not heeded, life going on according to what we want, not what God has made clear. And then the writings, God's recording the history of God's judgment, God's wrath upon the people of God for their stubborn refusal. This is mankind. This is us. We are great sinners. We're reminded of that even in our own time. We hear of mass shootings various times. We have terrorist shootings in different places. We see it in our own selves, within our own hearts. These persons who work great evil, evil that even our hardened society dares to call evil, those persons are no different from us by nature. It's just that the same sin within our hearts has burst out with them. What do gunmen deserve? What do terrorists deserve? Just what you and I deserve. Eternal punishment of body and soul. That's how bad it is. That's how dark we are. How great, how deep the spiritual darkness is, as we've read of in John 1, as we read of in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of this glory because of our sin. But into our darkness, the true light has come. Into our sin and into our shame, the Word became flesh. And from His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. We have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. But this baby, Jesus, He would grow up and He would be obedient. He would do all righteousness perfectly, fully obeying His heavenly Father. He did not fall short of God's glory, as all of us have done. Instead, we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son, the obedient Son. And the good news, the grace, brothers and sisters, is that Jesus did not obey for Himself, but for us. Jesus, the Word, became flesh, not for Himself, not because of some lack or need in Him, but for us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, manifesting His glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, so He would cause us to share in His glory. So that, as we read, verse 12, all who believed in His name would be given the right to become children of God. That's not what we deserve. That's the opposite of what you and I deserve. It's not what we're owed. It's not even what we can expect. It's grace. It's pure and simple grace. That means that even though we deserve the opposite, God has made Christ to become for us righteousness, holiness, redemption. That's grace, Christmas grace. Now, children, think about the different presents and gifts that you receive. Now, you don't deserve any of those from your parents, do you? From your grandpa and grandma, for uncles and aunts. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? And maybe we come to expect those presents. Maybe even you got a little upset if you don't get exactly what you want, or maybe not get as much as someone else. We don't deserve any of these. They are gifts. How much more than when God gave His Son? And when God has given us eternal life in Jesus. Not only is that undeserved, but we deserve the opposite. And so this is grace. It's grace. And yet the fullness of this grace is not to be found simply in the words becoming flesh in Christmas Day, but it's what he did while in the flesh. He offered himself as a sacrifice, offered himself in our place to suffer the wrath of God we deserve because of our sin. And in so doing, Jesus paid for the sin of all those who trust in him. God forgives you, believer, fully and freely. Trust him. That's grace. That's the fullness of grace. And also the fullness of truth. For with Jesus' death on the cross, the real payment, the true payment, has been made. No more animal sacrifices. No more temple ceremonies. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. Praise God for that. That's grace. Christmas grace, Christian grace, God's grace in Christ. And on this day, as on all days, as God's minister, I proclaim to you that everyone who entrusts himself to Jesus, you have forgiveness of sins. You receive the fullness of grace and truth, which is in Christ. That's what we read from Romans 3. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. It matters not what sins you have done. And it matters not how long in sin you have lived. God knows all about your sin. God knows all about mankind's sin. Yet knowing all that, he sent his Son. The Word became flesh in order to remove our sin, to make us holy, in order that we would see his glory. Not only see it from afar, but possess it. Every day, trust Jesus. And turn from sin. And then praise God for his grace. Here's what we need to help us in our sin. Not simply God's standard in creation so we know what's right and wrong. Not simply God's standard published in the law, the words of his law, so we would clearly know what is right and what is wrong. Not even God's word coming to us through the prophets, exhorting us, urging us, turn from your sin. And not only in the writings, what happened to the church, that warning when they stubbornly refused, the destruction that came. Christ has brought righteousness to us. It's not us, it is he. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The grace, the truth, is not in us, it's in him. Here's what sinful man needs. Not just a standard or a message, but reality, truth, grace. If God has gone this far, he will go all the way. Remember and believe on this day, not only the Savior's birth, but also his death and resurrection. There is grace, Christmas grace. And as we remember and believe God's grace in Christ, there's one more Christmas blessing we want to consider this morning. One more we enjoy. And that is Christmas joy. Christmas joy. Now, children, when you open a gift, you open a present, you find it perhaps to be something even better than you thought, than you had guessed or expected. You have a happy feeling, don't you? Well, that's nice to have. We all want feelings of happiness. But you know what? That's not the most important thing. See, happiness, those feelings of happiness, they fade. Sometimes they fade a lot faster than we would have liked. The presents you open, they'll grow old. You might misplace them. You might break them. Your brother might break them. They might be burned in a house fire. They might get thrown out in the trash accidentally. But certainly at the end of this earthly life, we must set aside all that we have acquired in this life. And all the feelings of happiness tied to those things, those will also fade. Even more, things will happen in your life. And many here can attest to that. Things will happen that are very sad. So while feelings of happiness are nice, we need something more. And certainly the Son of God has come to bring a godly happiness to his people. But there's something better than that in this life, and that is joy. True joy, lasting joy, Christmas joy. Joy is not a mere feeling. It's something deeper than that. Joy is, some have described it as a sense of well-being that abides in your heart. The heart of one who knows things are well between you and God. This joy that lasts even through times of earthly sorrow, it's rooted in something greater than earth, more long-lasting than this life. That's what God's grace in Christ brings, true and lasting joy. Believer in Jesus, you are right with God. You are forgiven. God has given you eternal life. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Never. How do we know? Because of God's grace in Christ. The Word became flesh. He bound himself to us so that we would share in his righteousness. We would partake of his grace. We would have joy. Christ has paid for all the sins of his people. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing, ever. The grace won't grow old, even though we do. The grace won't break, even though we break. It cannot be destroyed, even though our earthly bodies will return to the dust. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that is reason for joy and for celebration. We don't celebrate as the world celebrates, do we? The world has its expensive gifts, has its revelry, its drunkenness, its moral platitudes, its wishes and dreams that aren't realized on this earth. Whether it be peace on earth or even true peace within someone's heart, the world can't give that. But we celebrate as we remember and believe the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of our Savior. Why? Because of what he did, the Word became flesh. Dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have that now, and we look forward to even more, because Jesus is coming again. Oh, Jesus won't need to be born to take upon himself flesh a second time. He's already done that, and he's that forever. He won't need to suffer and die again. He's already done that once for all. Instead, he will return on the clouds of glory with his angels and the saints, and he will come to judge and remove all evil and all evildoers, to usher in the fullness of the new creation, peace on earth, yes, then and always, the new heavens, the new earth. And he will take us to be with him in that wonderful new creation forever and ever, with no sin, with no sorrow, no tears, no death. We will live forever. Praise to our God as he created us do. We have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What a reason for joy. What a reason for celebration this is, brothers and sisters. That's one reason why we've gathered for worship on this festive day, so that we have held before us the gospel message. Not just sentimental feelings, but so that our faith is strengthened, so we would trust God and love him and go out and love others. And therefore, congregation, on this Christmas day, remember and believe the surprise, the grace, the joy that God gives through Jesus. Trust him and have a blessed Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. What a blessing. What a mystery. What a surprise. What grace that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that we beheld his glory. Heavenly Father, strengthen our faith. Where there is no faith in Jesus, create it. That we would lay hold of him. That we would indeed be forgiven, be changed, to live not only in joy, but to live for your glory, that in Christ we would no longer fall short of it, but experience it and praise you. Or we pray in Jesus' name, amen.